Let's welcome in the great Gary Williams. Coach, what's happening?
Nice. How are you doing?
We're doing all right. And let's talk about, first and foremost, Loyola the Greyhounds, Jimmy Patsos, your former assistant.
There we go.
15 seed taking on your former team, Ohio State, where you were head coach for a few years back in the late 80s. First of all, just talk about how proud you are of Jimmy Patsos and his accomplishment this year.
Well, I am very proud of Jimmy. I know how hard he's worked and what he did for us when he was with Maryland. And, you know, Jimmy's one of those people that's not afraid to take on a tough thing. And, you know, going to Loyola where they had won one game, he kind of had to change the culture and make people believe that they could win. And, you know, that's as hard as going out and getting really good players and things like that. And he really did a good job with that. The student support they have now and things like that were never there before. So, you know, I'm really happy for him. You don't always get in coaching what you put into it. And so this year has been very important that Jimmy feels all the hard work he's put in there really paid off.
We're talking with Gary Williams, former Maryland head coach here on the Alpaca Ford Hotline. And Gary, staying with Loyola, what's a piece of advice you give Coach Patsos, kind of having to go and be David against Goliath and go in there and be a 15 seed that upsets it too? I mean, is there anything you tell him, or are you just kind of at this point in the season, you know you're playing basketball, you know what you do well, you just stick to it?
Yeah, and you know, Jimmy's been the head coach for 7 years now. I mean, he's been around the block. He's beaten Indiana and Indiana. He's played at Kentucky. You know, he's played against big-time programs. And I think that the key thing is that they won a championship this year playing a certain way. And, you know, you obviously every team you play, you might want to help on the post, say, against an Ohio State because of their size with Sullinger there or something like that. But basically, they'll play his game, you know, and he owes that, you know, to himself and to the players. You know, you get in a little bit of trouble if you start, you know, really making big changes, especially at this time of year.
Gary, let's talk about Selection Sunday, and you've been there multiple times, getting a high seed, maybe being on the bubble a couple of times. Take us through the mindset of a coach on the bubble. Sometimes you were on the right side, other times maybe the wrong side. Just tell us what you tell your team and how that whole process is.
Well, I'll never forget the first year we went at Maryland was Joe Smith and Keith Booth's freshman year with X-ray hip, Dwayne Simpkins, and Johnny Rhodes as the other three guys. And we had won two league games and a ACC tournament game the year before. And so we went from there to the Sweet 16, but we had to get into the NCAA tournament. And not having been there for a while, including the 3 years, well, not including the 3 years before me, but I guess it was 4 years by then that I was at Maryland, we weren't a lock, you know, by any means. And to see our name came up was it was for that year, but it was also for the Maryland program that we could be back playing in the NCAA tournament, which, you know, is a great feeling. And for all those teams that aren't a regular entry into the NCAA, that's a big thrill for all the players and the coaches and for, you know, teams that, you know, our consistent NCAA teams, you really want to make the tournament. In other words, you don't want to have a year, because nowadays, as soon as you don't make the tournament, you know the talk starts and things like that. So it's a big deal for your name to come up if you are on the bubble.
And Gary, when you look at the teams on the bubble this year, I mean, there's a lot of teams that can make an argument. And even in the MAC where Jimmy coaches, they finally got a second bid. I mean, are you, now that you're on the outside looking in, are you more of a fan of those mid-majors that are good mid-majors getting in over the kind of 500, below 500 big conference teams?
Well, I am. In other words, a team like Drexel, for example, they did what they could do. In other words, Drexel, they're good. Everybody knows Bruiser Flint does a good job with his team, and they play really aggressive and everything. So a lot of teams won't play him that are considered major teams, and they won't play him at Drexel. So Drexel can't turn around and play all their games on the road in the preseason because, you know, you don't win those games very often as if the deck's stacked against you. So I like the idea, and having coached at American U, we went undefeated in our league with Temple St. Joe and LaSalle 1 year and lost in a last-second shot to St. Joe, and they went into the NCAA and beat DePaul with Mark McGuire. I mean, we were really good that year, but we didn't even get they didn't even talk about us, because I think back then it was like 48 teams made the tournament. So I'm for that. And, you know, I'm probably in a minority now, but I'm for expanding the tournament. You know, I think Drexel should be in there. I think a team like Miami this year in the ACC should be in there. And, you know, why are we hung up on, you know, the 68 now, but it went from 16 to 32, 48, 64, 68. And every time it expanded, it was because there's more good teams. And if you look at all the pro leagues plus football that has 36 bowl games, that's 72 out of 110, 115 teams that go to their postseason. We have the smallest postseason group of any major sport right now.
Gary Williams joining us here on the Haney and Zeno Show, 105.7 The Fan. Beautiful Monday. Baltimore, Maryland coach joining us via the Alpaca Ford Hotline. By the way, that AU team, the great Russell Boo Bowers, correct, was your star player, if I'm not mistaken.
He was tremendous. He returned his senior year as the leading scorer in the country and tore his knee up against, we were playing Delaware over at Fort Myer that had a real choppy portable floor, and he caught his knee in one of those cracks, you know, in portable floors. And back then, an ACL injury was much more severe. And he was a third-round pick with Cleveland, but never really regained the quickness that he had before that.
Coach, let's get to the number one seeds here. Kentucky, Syracuse, North Carolina, and Michigan State. Obviously, you follow the Big Ten very closely. Of the four number ones most vulnerable in their bracket?
Well, most vulnerable... You know, it's funny. I've heard all four regions picked as the toughest region already. You know, it all depends how you look at it. I know, you know, just watching Ohio State very closely, they're you know, if they beat Jimmy and Loyola, then they would have to play West Virginia and Gonzaga winner, and Florida State's there, Texas is there, and Cincinnati. So they're all, you know, pretty good teams. And but you never know. You never know who's going to play well this week, and that has a lot to do with it, how you catch a team and things like that. But Ohio State was 3 points away from being the number one seed themselves, and I watched them play three straight times, and, you know, they're good. Michigan State, obviously, is very good. Draymond Green is one of the great 6'6", 250-pound players in the country. And, of course, I still think Kentucky has the best six guys playing. You know, they're so... tough defensively with the shot blockers that they have in the team and things like that. And Syracuse, you know, just had a heck of a year. And, you know, I think you see from the seeding that the NCAA selection committee doesn't put as much on conference tournaments as probably a lot of fans do. In other words, I think three of those teams lost. They got number one seeds, lost in conference tournaments. So, you know, that's where it is today. But I think most vulnerable, I might say Syracuse only because they haven't shot it well lately. They've really been struggling making shots. They get offensive rebounds. They score in transition. But if you can get them into a half-court situation, they haven't been real good lately.
He's Gary Williams here on the Alpaca Ford Hotline as we break down the NCAA tournament brackets. And, Coach, you know, having gone to two Final Fours, it's a weird dynamic in the fact that you're going to play a game on a Thursday, let's say, and you have no idea who your opponent's going to be 2 days later. Then you get a week off to go get ready for a team, and if you win again, you still have no idea who your opponent's going to be 2 days later. I mean, what is it about the NCAA tournament as a coach that you need to do to kind of prepare your team for the ups and downs of playing two games in 48 hours and then getting a week off and going back and doing it again?
Well, what you do is... You know that the two teams that you might play that second night if you win the first night. So as a head coach, I always stayed away from even doing anything with them. But like when I was at Maryland, when we got there, it was always Jimmy Patsos had one team and Dave Dickerson, who is at Ohio State right now, which is interesting. Dave is the assistant out there. They would each take one of those teams and do an extensive scouting job with tapes and things like that. So if we won that first game, say on a Thursday, I'd have all those tapes and everything in my room, plus their scouting reports on that particular team. And, you know, I would just spend a lot of time, not get much sleep, and just get ready, because that practice, and a lot of times it's not much more than a walkthrough, and that day in between, you have to be really good as a head coach. You have to be able to present it, and you have to use your assistant coach who scouted that team to really help you get that information into the players. And you really talk about that all week about, hey, we've got to be very mature here. You guys got to come in if it's a Thursday, Saturday deal, you got to come in Friday and really pay attention. We'll be on the floor for an hour and a half. That's it. And we've got to learn everything we can learn about the team we're playing. Then after that, we'll go back, eat. We'll have like a real tough film session, tape session with the players, make sure they go over. And then that morning, if it's a late game, we'll be able to walk through some things again. But that's it. Then you have to go play. And the teams that cause problems in those second games are the Wisconsins, that play a completely different style than a lot of teams do in the Big Ten, you know, with a very patterned offense and things like that. Princeton offenses, Princeton-based offenses, cause a lot of problems. Georgetown could be a tough out because of the way they run their offense, for example. And that's what you don't like to see. You want a team in the second game that plays kind of like you do, because it's easier to adjust to that second game.
10 years ago, Coach, Wisconsin, as a matter of fact, you faced them in the second round, drubbed them on your way to the national championship. But the UConn game up at the Carrier Dome, Elite Eight, what's your biggest memory of that one, aside from the victory, of course?
Well, that was there was 8 NBA players on the floor. Didn't know it at the time, but that's what was out there. And it was just incredible, the speed of that game. I'll never forget that game, because both teams really went after each other. You know, Ben Gordon, Karam Butler, Okafor. You know, and of course, we had Steve Blake, Juan Dixon, Chris Wilcox, and Lonnie Baxter, and Byron Mouton, who was good enough to play in the NBA. So those two teams, they weren't going to back off. I mean, just the players, you could tell. When they walked out in that court for that opening tip, they both those teams had that look like, let's go. It's about time we played. Because we had just beaten Kentucky with Tayshaun Prince the game before, and you know, we were ready to go, and so was Connecticut. And it was just a great game. And, you know, Juan Dixon hit the big three to tie it, and Blake hit the three. And, you know, that's how close it comes. It comes down to a couple possessions late in those games.
He's Gary Williams, former Maryland head coach. 10 years ago, cut down the nets in a NCAA championship. Coach, great to hear from you as always. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Gary.